Dr. Jeremy Dave, an attending physician in the emergency medicine department at Mayo Clinic Hospital, is talking to Mrs. Edna Locke, a 43-year-old black woman.
Hello, Mrs. Locke. I'm Dr. Davin.
Hello, doctor.
What's brought you to the emergency department today?
I'm having trouble breathing, so much so that I haven't been able to function well at home.
Can you remember when it started?
Well, it's getting worse. That's why I came today. It's been happening for 5 days, and I've been coughing.
Can you tell me more about your breathing difficulties?
I need to breathe more to do even little things, and today I really had a hard time going up the stairs to my house because of that, and even doing the dishes. The cough is nothing much, but it is annoying because nothing comes up, but it keeps happening.
So you've had increasing breathing difficulty for the past 5 days, along with a cough. Is there anything else that you've experienced?
No, nothing else.
Any fever, chills, chest pain, palpitations?
No, no.
Has anyone around you been out of breath or coughing like you? Or have you visited any sick person in the past weeks?
No, I don't know anybody who's sick.
Have you been traveling recently?
No, I haven't gone out of town in the past 5 years.
Okay. Have you ever felt this type of breathing difficulty before?
Well, it's actually been happening for about a year, but it wasn't too bad at first. It's been getting slowly worse, and the last 5 days have been really bad. I don't know what could have started it. I didn't do anything special, or have a cold or anything.
Can you tell me a bit about your overall health?
I have asthma, which I thought was making the breathing harder, and I have high blood pressure.
Have you had any recent episodes of respiratory trouble? Colds, flu, etc.?
Well, yes, I did have a few bouts of that this year. I even got antibiotics from my doctor. I had a bad chest.
All right. And are you taking any medication?
Well, I take oral contraceptives because I've had really bad periods, really heavy periods. And I'm supposed to take a few other things regularly, but I haven't really been. I brought them along. I never remember the names.
Let's see. We have something for your blood pressure and 2 drugs for your asthma. And you don't take them regularly?
No, not really. I don't feel any different when I do, and I don't want to take too many drugs. I don't tend to be good about seeing doctors or taking drugs.
I see. Are there any particular diseases that run in your family?
Well, my dad has diabetes, and my grandma had heart problems.
Okay. Do you smoke at all?
No, not anymore. I quit 10 years ago. I did used to smoke quite a bit.
Can you tell me how much and for how long?
About a pack a day for 20 years. I mean, it was less at the beginning. I started far too young and more at the end. So on average, it must be about that.
And would you say you drink more or less than 4 drinks a day?
Well, I don't drink at all. I'm teetotal. I'm completely against alcohol, and before you even ask, I have never done drugs and will never touch it.
Okay. Do you have any allergies?
No, not that I'm aware of.
All right, well, if you'll allow me, I'll proceed to examining you then. Let's measure you and weigh you first. Please remove your shoes and stand along this wall. That's 5'4". Okay, and could you step on those scales for me? Thank you. That's 262 pounds. So your weight and height give a BMI of 45 and...
That's not great, is it?
Well, it is above the recommended weight, and it is very common for people who are over the recommended weight to be out of breath because the extra weight forces the heart and lungs to work harder. But it wouldn't explain the recent escalation of your health troubles.
Oh, okay, I understand.
Now let's check your vitals. Would you roll up your sleeve for me, please? I'll just take your blood pressure. Okay, 170 over 95, which confirms the high blood pressure. That's why you need the medication your primary care provider prescribed you.
But what's so bad about a bit of high blood pressure?
High blood pressure also stresses the heart, so not taking your medication gives your heart an additional challenge to what the extra weight does. Over the long term, high blood pressure can lead to very serious conditions such as heart attack, strokes, etc. It's the most important preventable risk factor for premature death worldwide.
I never knew it could get to that. I guess maybe I'll try and remember to take the medication more often.
That would be wise. Now, let's take your temperature. 37 degrees Celsius.
What does that mean?
That's 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, so perfectly normal. I'm just going to check your heart rate. 106, and your respiratory rate is 18 breaths per minute. That's normal, but on the higher range. I'm going to clip this to your finger to check how much oxygen there is in your blood. 97%, that's normal too. Now I'm going to listen around with my stethoscope. Just relax, take a deep breath. Okay, a few crackles in the lungs, nothing too bad. Let's have a listen to your heart then. All normal, that's good. I'm just going to check your lymph nodes now. Any pain here?
No, not at all.
Good. They are a little swollen. You don't seem to have any rash, that's good. If you'll let me, I'll have a look at your feet. Ah, a little bit of swelling there.
Is this all really bad?
No, no, please don't be alarmed. You're in no acute distress. We just have to run a few tests to understand what is causing your symptoms, so I'm going to admit you. I'll put in an order for an electrocardiogram, some blood tests, and an X-ray and CT scan of your chest, just to be thorough. For now, I'll just ask you to get some rest and relax as much as possible. Is that all right with you?
Yes, that's fine, Doctor. Thank you.
Later in the week, Jeremy Davin is talking about the case with his second-year resident, Emily Eastwich.
Hello, Emily. Have you familiarized yourself with Mrs. Locke's case?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good. Can you summarize it for me?
Yes, all right. Mrs. Locke, a 43-year-old black woman, presented to the ER with a 5-day history of increasing shortness of breath, along with a mild non-productive cough. She denied having any fever, chills, chest pain, or palpitations. No sick contacts were identified, and she denied any recent travel. On further questioning, the patient reported that she first experienced shortness of breath 1 year ago, and that it had been gradually progressive since then. Her shortness of breath had particularly worsened over the 5 days prior to presentation, to the point that it was limiting her daily activities. This prompted her to come to the ED. She did not attribute her shortness of breath to any precipitating event. Her past medical history is significant for asthma and hypertension, as well as for several episodes of presumed bronchitis or pneumonia last year. She recalls being treated with antibiotics as an outpatient by her primary care provider. She also has a history of heavy menstrual periods, for which she has been on OCPs. Her family history is positive for DM and ischemic heart disease. Except for the OCPs, she's not adherent to the rest of regular medication, which includes an ACE inhibitor, an inhaled corticosteroid, and a beta-2 agonist. She quit smoking 10 years ago after a 20-pack year history. She denied any alcohol or illicit drug use, and she has no known allergies, drug or otherwise.
Good. Perfect, actually. Very well done. What about the examination? You may look at your notes for this.
On physical examination, she appeared to be in no acute distress. She's morbidly obese with a BMI of 45. Her blood pressure was 170 over 95. Her heart rate, 106. Her respiratory rate was 18. And her temperature, 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Her O2 sats were at 97% while breathing ambient air. Pertinent findings on chest examination included fine crackles at the lung bases with decreased vocal fremitus. Auscultation of the rest of the chest revealed no abnormalities. Her cardiovascular examination showed normal first and second heart sounds with no jugular venous distension, murmurs, rubs, or gallops. There were several enlarged non-tender cervical and axillary lymph nodes bilaterally. She had no rashes. The neurologic examination was non-focal. Her peripheral pulses were palpable. Examination of her lower extremities elicited mild bilateral pitting pedal edema. The rest of her examination revealed no significant findings.
Okay, good. Now that I know you're up to speed, here are the results of her tests. Her EKG is remarkable for sinus tachycardia. The initial laboratory workup reveals a creatinine of 1.6, proteinuria of over 300, and hematuria with 50 to 100 red blood cells per high power field. She has anemia with a hemoglobin of 8.1 and a hematocrit of 25.4% respectively. Her mean corpuscular volume is 77, with iron levels of less than 10, a total iron binding capacity of 197, and a ferritin level of 68. The D-dimer is positive at 4.73, and the ESR is elevated at 50. Her chest x-ray shows a right-sided pleural effusion and a patchy linear opacity at the base of the left lung that is consistent with scar tissue. CT scanning of the thorax shows bilateral small pleural effusions that are greater on the right than the left, significantly enlarged axillary and subpectoral lymph nodes bilaterally, and a small pericardial effusion. Now, keeping her history in mind, what are your thoughts about a possible etiology?
Well, the constellation of serositis, hypertension, diffuse lymphadenopathy, azotemia and proteinuria in Mrs. Locke seem to suggest a systemic autoimmune disease.
Any more specific ideas?
I don't think it can be rheumatoid arthritis, given the patient has not complained of arthritis and it generally starts with that. IgA nephropathy is possible, but not as likely as SLE, which would be my best bet at this stage.
Very nice. Further laboratory workup revealed a positive result for ANA at 1 to 640, including those against dsDNA, an IgG titer of 300, and an anti-Smith finding.
Well, I think we can go with SLE then.
Yes, indeed. Systemic lupus erythematosus fits this case. Other relevant findings include a decreased complement level with C3 and C4 levels of 46.2 and 5.3, respectively, a positive Coombs test, hypoalbuminemia at 3.1, and a negative lupus anticoagulant antibody finding. Biopsy of the kidney was performed, which showed diffuse proliferative lupus nephritis class 4,
mm-hmm.
with moderate activity and no chronicity. Moderate interstitial inflammation was also seen. So, do you have any ideas for treatment?
Would oral corticosteroids and mycophenolate mofetil be indicated in this case?
Yes, that's very good. Great work. I'm going to give the news to the patient now. Care to come along? Try and explain the diagnosis to the patient in terms she might understand.
Sure, yes.
Hello, Dr. Davin.
Hello, Mrs. Locke. This is Dr. Emily Eastwich, a resident here.
Hello.
Do you mind if she joins us today?
Not at all. Hello, Dr. Eastwich. Dare I ask if you have found anything?
We do have a pretty good idea of what's going on now.
Well, that's good with all the poking and prodding I have had to go through.
The disease you have is quite complex, actually. It's what we call an autoimmune disease, which means your body is attacking itself. What you have is called systemic lupus erythematosus, or SLE.
What's that?
It's a chronic inflammatory disease of unknown cause, characterized by a wide spectrum of signs and symptoms, which makes it a little tricky to diagnose. So that explains all the tests.
Okay, but what does it do? I mean, how does it manifest?
Well, because the disease affects the connective tissue, that's anything that links organs, basically, multiple organ systems, including the skin, joints, kidneys, lungs, nervous system, and possibly other organs of the body can be affected. What happens is that the immune system attacks the body's own cells and tissue, which causes a continuous inflammatory response and tissue damage. The specific manifestations in patients vary greatly, and the disease course is as variable as it is unpredictable, with periods of illness alternating with periods when patients feel better.
Okay. So I guess that means I have a disease which is weird and changes all the time.
Well, that's one way to put it, yes. We don't know what it's going to do to you specifically.
But how did I get it? I don't know anybody who has it. I've never even heard of it.
While we don't know what causes SLE, the highest prevalence among ethnic groups is in African Americans. SLE is also up to 10 times more common in women than in men and typically occurs between 15 and 45 years of age. Also, women like you who have been exposed to estrogen-containing oral contraceptives do have an increased risk of developing SLE.
Oh, okay. So there wasn't much I could do to prevent it. But now, what do I do?
Well, SLE is not curable, but we can treat the symptoms. In your case, we'll begin treatment with high-dose oral corticosteroids and an immunosuppressant. You should feel much better in about a week, but you will need renal, rheumatological, and primary care follow-up. It does mean you'll have to go and see doctors fairly regularly.
Well, I couldn't really function anymore, so I guess I'll have to follow doctors' orders for once. At least now we know what's going on. Thank you, doctors.